Hello, everyone. This is Tom Fox, and I would like to welcome you to episode 58 of the FCPA Compliance and Ethics Report. Today, I want to do a special episode on the Esquenazi and Rodriguez opinion, which came out last Friday from the 11th Circuit Court of Appeals. This was an important decision in the FCPA world would be simply an understatement. As most everyone knows, we have an absolute dearth of Court of Appeals decisions, or indeed district court decisions, which tell us much about what the court's thinking is regarding the interpretation of the FCPA. So anytime we can get a Court of Appeals to take a look at the FCPA, it's certainly significant. This significance was magnified because of the issue presented in the Esquenazi and Rodriguez appeals, and I'm just going to refer to them as Esquenazi throughout this podcast. But the real question turned on, although there were several questions presented, and I'm going to really try to sound not sound too much like a lawyer on this podcast, but I am, so you just have to bear with me on that. The real, for the FCPA practitioner, the real key question was, is a state-owned enterprise an instrumentality under the Act? And we had never had a Court of Appeals opine on this, so certainly this was significant. There are several commentators and business organizations such as the Chamber of Commerce and a lot of common, other commentators who have tried to advocate that an instrumentality, a state-owned enterprise, is not an instrumentality under the FCPA. Certainly myself and others have taken the opposite approach that a state-owned enterprise is covered by the by the FCPA, and that it's an instrumentality under the Act. So this was a pretty important question, because if it's state-owned enterprises are not covered by the FCPA, in large part that guts the FCPA and doesn't really take into account how businesses have evolved, certainly since the businesses and how foreign governments do business have evolved since 1977. So with that, the opinion itself upheld the convictions of Messrs. Joel Esquenazi and Carlos Rodriguez for violations of the FCPA and certain U.S. anti-money laundering laws. The two had engaged in a long-running bribery scheme with a Haitian telephone company called Telco. The pair were convicted to lengthy jail terms. Esquenazi received 15 years and Rodriguez received 7 years. Both defendants had argued that only an actual part of the government could qualify as a instrumentality, and that the contravailing position was that the FCPA their second position was that the FCPA should be construed to encompass only foreign entities performing core governmental functions similar to departments or agencies. The Court of Appeals rejected both of these arguments. As to the first argument, they said that the contention is too cramped and would impede a wide net, the wide net over foreign bribery that Congress sought to cast in enacting the FCPA. The court rejected the second point as well, and went into some detail about two separate congressional actions which informed their decision. The first was FCPA amendments involving facilitation payments, or what the court called grease payments. And here the court focused on the definitions of facilitation payments, which stated that a facilitation payment is in part a routine governmental action defined as an action ordinarily and commonly performed by foreign government officials, among other things, providing phone service. And the court felt that if a entity providing phone service could never be a foreign official, so as to fall under the FCPA substantive prohibition regarding facilitation payments, there would be no need to include an express exclusion for such payments. In other words, if we read instrumentality to categorically exclude government-controlled entities that provide telephone service, it would certainly render meaningless this portion of the facilitation payment exemption. The court next turned to U.S. treaty obligations. And how this comes into play with the FCPA is in 1998, the FCPA was amended in part to ensure that the U.S. was in compliance with its treaty obligations as a signatory under the OECD Convention on Combating Bribery of Foreign Public Officials in International Business Transactions. And the OECD certainly had language which talked about the conduct, not only the conduct of business officials, but that a foreign public official included a person performing a public function for a company, including a public enterprise. And the court thought this was significant language that Congress was aware of. Congress knew it was important for the United States to enact a law which would enforce its treaty obligations, and that this, because Congress did not see the need to change the FCPA, this was an indication that Congress understood that instrumentality covered a state-owned enterprise or a public enterprise, if we draw the language from the OECD convention. So a couple of pretty broad bases for this upholding a state-owned enterprise could be an instrumentality under the FCPA. Then the court turned to the question is, which they phrased as specifically, what's the test to decide if a given case of whether a foreign entity in which a domestic concern makes a payment is an instrumentality of the foreign government? In other words, what's the test to determine if a state-owned enterprise is an instrumentality under the FCPA? And the court came up with two tests, or a two-prong test, I should say, the control test and the functions test. Under the control test, the court issued or discussed the following factors. And I should start off by saying that the court said that none of these factors were dispositive. There may be other factors that should be considered. The court was not going to list every factor that should be considered. So other formulations may work, and indeed the formulation that the court came up with was somewhat different than what was developed by the district court in Eskenazi. So certainly you can take the factors under the control test and function test are things that can be used, certainly if you live in one of the states of the 11th Circuit, but if you have followed some of the factors listed by other courts, such as in Carson and Lindsay, which I'm going to discuss a little bit later in this podcast, then you may be okay as well. So having said that, let's get back to the two prongs, the two-prong test, control and functions. So under control, the court listed these factors: the foreign government's formal designation of the entity, whether the government has an interest in the entity, the government's ability to hire and fire the entity's principals, the extent to which the entity's profits or any go into the government fiscal system. Next, the extent to which the government funds the entity if the entity fails to break even. And next, the length of time these indicia have existed. And then the court turned to the functions test. So let me go through the factors the court laid out there. First, does the entity have a monopoly over the function it exists to carry out? Two, does the foreign government subsidize the cost associated with the entity in providing the services? Three, does the entity provide services to the public at large in the foreign country? And finally, four, does the foreign government generally perceive the entity to be performing a governmental function? So the court came up with those 10 factors in the what I've called the control and functions test. And then they took a look at the five-part test as set out in the jury instructions from the district court. And the jury instructions were as follows. One, whether it, Telco, provides services to the citizens and inhabitants of Haiti. Two, whether the key officers and directors are governmental officials or appointed by governmental officials. Three, the extent of Haiti's ownership of Telco, including whether Haitian government owns a majority of Telco shares or provided financial support such as subsidies, special tax treatment, loans, or revenue from government-mandated fees. Four, were Telco's obligations and privileges under Haitian law, including whether Telco exercised exclusive or controlling power to administer its designated functions. And finally, five, whether the Telco is widely perceived and understood to be performing official or government functions. So you can see there's some overlap there, but clearly the district court did not have all of the factors which the Court of Appeals laid out in the two-prong control and functions test. So now I would like to turn to, and then of course the district court upheld all of the convictions of the defendants. There were some other issues that I'm really not going to go into involving sentencing and the sentencing guidelines and some evidentiary points that were raised by the defendants in quite an interesting post-trial matter. So I would encourage you to take a look at the opinion if you want to really dive into the weeds on those. As most practitioners know, over the past couple of years, a couple of cases have been gone through the district court, which took a look at this question of whether a state-owned enterprise could be an instrumentality. And those were the Lindsay and the Carson cases. Now, these are district court opinions, but they're from the district court in California. The 11th Circuit opinion is now precedent in the 11th Circuit. Neither Lindsay nor Carson, because of some interesting post-trial procedural matters, went to trial. So in Carson, all of the defendants ended up pleading out. And in Lindsay, there were convictions, but the entire convictions, number of all of the convictions, were thrown out by the district court judge for prosecutorial misconduct. So we're not going to have appeals of these, so we won't, or potential even appeals, so we won't have a potential split in the circuits. I was asked earlier this evening, for instance, are there any other instrumentality cases percolating up towards the Court of Appeals? And at this point, I'm not aware of any district court cases which have looked at this, which may go up to the Court of Appeals, nor am I aware of any that are bubbling, although the Petro Tiger case perhaps could be looking at the question of instrumentality if that case goes to trial. But let me go through these factors because I think they're still valuable for the compliance practitioner to consider. So in Lindsay, the factors were listed as the following. Number one, did the entity provide service to citizens in many cases in throughout the country? Two, are the key officers and directors of the company appointed by the government? Three, is the entity financed or in large measure by government appropriations or through government mandates? Four, is the entity vested with or exercise exclusive control to with the power to administer its designated function? Five, is the entity widely perceived and understood to be providing governmental functions? In Carson, there were six factors. Did the foreign government characterize the entity as part of the government? Or what was the foreign government's characterization? What was the foreign government's control over the entity? What was the foreign government's extent of ownership, including the level of financial support? What were the the state-owned entity's obligations and privileges under the country's laws, and whether it exercised exclusive or controlling power to administer its designated functions, or was that somehow vested with the foreign government. What were the purpose of the entity's activities? And then a different factor from Lindsay, what were the circumstances around the creation of these? So you see some similar factors. I've listed these out as basically the key inquiries are the characterization of services, the ability to hire and fire by the foreign government, the foreign government financing financial control or funding of the state-owned enterprise, foreign government control of administrative functions as opposed to the entity's control of its functions. The perception is reality test. What is the perception of the foreign government entity? And then from Carson, creation, what were the circumstances around the creation? And then two additional factors from the Esquenazi case, the length of time, because one of the control test factors was the length of time the indicia existed, and then from Esquenazi and the functions test, or the functions prong, the monopoly over the market. Does the entity have a monopoly to function, to carry out its functions? So clearly you see some overlap there. For instance, the control prong, under the control prong in Esquenazi and Lindsay, there's the hiring and firing component. Carson says it's simply foreign government control over the state-owned entity. Both Lindsay and Esquenazi have the questions regarding the perception inquiry. Carson denominates this inquiry as the purpose inquiry. And all three court decisions consider the financial support that the foreign government provided to the state-owned enterprise. They're similar inquiries regarding the extent to the services of the state-owned enterprise available to all citizens, and does the foreign government or the state-owned enterprise exercise control of the administrative functions of the foreign government entity. The two things that are new from Esquenazi are this length of time under the control function and then this monopoly inquiry under the functions prong. But I don't think that these will be quite as important as some of the other factors. So what does all this mean for the compliance practitioner? Well, I think there are five key inquiries that you need to make to determine whether a state-owned enterprise is an instrumentality under the FCPA. So obviously, number one should be financial ownership and financial control. There's clearly no percentage amount listed in the conclusion, but anything over 50% would be a very significant factor. But remember, if it's a foreign government controlling, they may have a much lower ownership interest, yet still have actual control. So it could be 10%, could be 20%. The percentage itself should not be controlling. That should be one indicia. But that turns us to number two, which is actual control. And actual control is considered a key factor in all of the three courts' rulings. In Lindsay and Esquenazi, it was characterized as the government's right to appoint key officers and directors. In Carson, it's simply called government control. But if the government, the foreign government exercises control, I think this would trump the 50% ownership interest stated above. Privileges and obligations. Basically, this means this inquiry means, does the entity have the right to control its own functions, or is the foreign government controlling its own functions? Number four, financing. Is it a for-profit entity? So this is a little bit different than financial control, because it means, does the entity finance itself through its own revenues, or does it depend on government financing? Or does it rebate part of its profits to the government? And then what about taxes? Does it get a tax break from the government? So financing could be several different areas of inquiry, but that's what I believe should be your fourth area of inquiry. And then finally, what I call the perception is reality test. If a state-owned enterprise is perceived to be providing a government official function in a country, then I think that's a very strong indicia that it's an instrumentality under the FCPA. So I've written about this. If you want to take a look at my blog post of Monday, May 19th and Tuesday, May 20th, I kind of lay these out in a little greater specificity. If you have any questions, please feel free to call me, contact me via email at tfox@tfoxlaw.com. This is Tom Fox, and I hope you've enjoyed this podcast on the Esquenazi and Rodriguez appeal. Thank you.